If it's okay with you, today I'm going to do some teaching. And the reason I'm going to do that is because whenever you leave today, you're going to have some scriptures that you can go back and reference. And you're going to have, more important than that, you're going to have revelation by the Holy Spirit. And it's not going to just be ink on paper that you're going to take with you today. It's going to be a revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus, what you have and what you can do in Christ Jesus. You know, a lot of the scriptures refer to in Him, in whom, in Christ, in Jesus, all throughout the Gospels and the Epistles. It talks about in Christ. We have been placed in Him whenever we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so we're in Him and He's in us. And that's how everything that I'm going to talk about today comes to fruition in this natural world. So bear with me. I'm going to share with you a number of scriptures, but it's going to be worth it. I used to be in law enforcement, and whenever we prepared a case to prosecute, it's the preponderance of evidence. What you would do is you would take everything that proved that a person was guilty, and you would bring that all to court, and you would display the evidence, even if it took 2 or 3 weeks to present all the evidence. So this morning, it's not going to take 2 or 3 weeks, okay? But we'll be here until we get finished. And it won't hurt my feelings at all if somebody needs to get up and go, that's okay. Because it's being recorded, and so it'll be on the website so you can listen to it again. But I look at each one of you as disciples. Whenever the Lord gave me the word to start a ministry called Acts 2:42 Ministries, Food, Fun, and Fellowship, He said, go and make disciples of all nations. A disciple is a person who follows Jesus, who has a personal, intimate relation with Him and keeps learning, and he becomes like Christ is. Amen. Just like the Scripture says, as He is, so are we in this world. And that's how we become like Christ, by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of Christ, the Gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're transformed by the Word of God. And so we do become just like Christ after we continue hearing and hearing. Because as many of you have already experienced, you may have read a scripture 100 times. But the 101st time, it jumps off the page at you. And it means something deeper than you've ever experienced. And today, that's what I'm going to lead you through. Some scriptures that you've read before, but the Holy Spirit is doing His job and He's making it real to you, so that it's just not ho-hum, we'll go and listen to a 5-minute service and then we'll go eat. That's not what this is. Now, the title of the message today is You Have Miracles Inside You in Christ. That's present tense. You have miracles inside of you today in Christ Jesus. I'll let that sink in. I don't know if you're like I used to be. I knew that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. And healing and things like that. We've seen many healings. Pastor Henry has ministered to many people and they've received their health again. The fact of it is, you've been given Jesus' health. Amen. And you're not fooled anymore by symptoms or situations or circumstances or the lies of the demonic realm. They've been defeated anyway. That's the only time I even talk about them, is to let you know that they have been defeated. Christ defeated the demons and the devil himself. It said He's been made useless. because that word destroyed in the scriptures, that he destroyed the devil and the works of the devil, it means that he's been made useless. He's a wuss, wimp, loser. He's already been defeated by Christ. In fact, you can put your foot down on his neck and he can't do anything about it because you got more power than he does. In Christ Jesus, you have everything. And that's going to be the theme of what we're talking about all day today. Well, it won't be that long, but but we're going to talk about how great Jesus is and how much he loves each one of us. And how everything has been provided in him, in Christ Jesus. The anointed one. The Messiah. The beloved firstborn of God. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So, as good students today, you may want to jot down a note as the Holy Spirit gives you unction. And he will add to it. There are many verses I could have picked out today to add to the whole list. But I've given you, I believe, enough that you can do your own research also and add to that list of things that describe Jesus to you. Things that give you revelation about who you really are in him, what you have and what you can do in Christ Jesus. Because you've been perfectly equipped by him whenever you received him as Savior. He has equipped you. Even if you don't want to admit it, you being here in this meeting this morning means that you want to learn more about who you are in Christ. And that you're ready to receive. And that's my prayer for each one of you today. You're here to receive. What I'm going to talk about is actually more than just receiving your own miracle. It's actually going to be how you can help another person to receive their miracle. Because each one of you, whether you want to think it or not, you are ministers in Christ Jesus. Because what's been placed in you, he doesn't want you just to have it all to yourself. He wants you to share it with other people. You have received abundantly in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so he wants us to share that with other people. That's what you see throughout the entire New Covenant. You see men who are disciples. Ordinary people with extraordinary relationship with God himself through Jesus Christ going and doing extraordinary things. Because they're in Christ Jesus. And he is the one that works through them. You know, even Jesus said, the works that I do, it's the Father who works through me that does them. So he gave the Father credit for everything. He says, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. He and the Father are pretty tight, aren't they? They're one. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it says that they are one. And if you really want a nugget today, carry home with you. I'm not going to talk about it right now, but go and read John 17. Each one of us in the room that know Jesus as Savior has been included in you have been made one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's not blasphemy. That's Bible. Because I trembled the first time I read that and says, no, that can't really mean what it's saying. And I said, Lord, really? This is like too good to be true. Do you really mean that I've been made one with you, Father? It's no mistake. And it's all because of what Jesus has done on our behalf that we've been made one with Him. Because simply believing the gospel that Jesus Christ took upon Himself all that we were, and it went in the grave and it stayed. All the bad stuff. He arose again. It says we arose with Him just as He arose to newness of life in Christ Jesus. So all that bad stuff stayed dead. And we are new in Christ Jesus. Totally new people. New creations is what it said. And because we have had all our sins forgiven, because we received Christ, it says that we not only have them forgiven, but He remembers our sins and iniquities no more. And on top of that, He's given us Jesus' righteousness, right standing with God. He's given us the gift of righteousness. We can stand boldly in front of God Himself. And He sees us exactly the way He sees Jesus Christ, His Son. Clean, pure, holy, righteous in every respect. Does that mean that we don't do anything wrong? No, I didn't say that. But He sees us spirit to spirit. And our spirits have been made born again, born from above. And that's how God sees us, spirit to spirit. He sees us just as clean and holy as Jesus Christ is, because He's given us His righteousness. So we're in Him and He's in us. We're inseparable. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, in Jesus' name, you will be today. You will be saved if you're not already, because of the word we're going to talk about this morning. So, if you're like I used to be, that's past tense, I believe that, you know, through the redemption process that Christ has made us well, whole, healed. Sickness and disease does not have any part in us anymore. Does that mean we don't have symptoms? Oh yeah. We live in a fallen world and we have some symptoms sometimes, but they can't stay. If we really understand who we are in Christ Jesus, they have to go. Because we have His power on the inside of us. And His power is more powerful than anything else. Do you think that the devil didn't want Jesus to come out of the grave? He tried everything that he had to keep Him in there. He couldn't. So He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. And so that's what we're dealing with. We're going to talk about spiritual things. The spirit realm. We live in the natural realm too. But we're spirit beings. Spirit, soul, and body. Most of you probably have studied that teaching in here by Andrew Womack. We are spirits. That's who we really are. We live in a body. And we have a soul. Mind, will, and emotions is what our soul is. Personality is also in that. So it's about who we are as spirit beings in Christ Jesus is what we're going to be talking about today. And that's going to manifest itself into the natural realm and into the soulish realm within us. Amen? Okay. Everybody on the same page with me today? Everybody ready to go? All right. Remember, you're students today. You're not just bystanders. You're not people that are warm in a seat in a pew in a church. You're going to be students today. God has anointed me today to give you truth that you can carry with you the rest of your life. And that you can enjoy everything that God has given for you. Even whenever it looks like in the natural you don't have anything. Something has come against you. That it looks like it's never going to cease. Some of you may have been dealing with some things for years in here. Today, that's going to cease. It's your divine right in Christ Jesus to be free from the junk that has tried to plague you. They're just lies. I call them distractions. The Bible says they're temptations. How was Jesus tempted? How was Jesus tempted? Satan himself tempted Jesus. If you be the Son of God. He questioned his true identity. And that's what symptoms do today. Symptoms test whether or not you know who you are in Christ Jesus. And if you don't know, you'll sign for the package. If you don't know who you are in Christ, knock, knock, knock. I've got a package of sickness and disease here. It says it's got your name on it here. If you sign for that package because you don't know any better, you'll receive what they're giving out. But if you know who you are in Christ Jesus, what He's done for you, you won't sign for the package. You can tell Him, take it back and go to hell with it because that's where it belongs. It's not yours. Literally. Okay? I wasn't being ugly. That's where it belongs because that's where it came from. I hate sickness and disease. I don't know about y'all. Because it's not ours. We're not fallen anymore. You're not guilty anymore. We sang that. That is a song straight from Jesus' heart. We've been transformed in Him. Now, does that mean that anybody that has had some symptoms and they've been dealing with some stuff, does that mean they're any less than anybody else? No. No. But I'm here today to give you hope. Because we worship a God of hope. Hope means a positive expectation of good. And He's already provided that good for us. It's just a matter of us having the revelation that it is for us. It's not just for these people that, you know, have a status in the church or whatever, or have a, you know, something before their name like apostle or pastor or whatever. No, it's for everyone in Christ Jesus. It's ours by divine right because Jesus went to the cross and rose again to make sure that we have it and we make use of it in this natural life that we live. Now, everything that He's given to us right now is in the spirit realm. And the way that we produce it into the natural realm, we're going to talk about that too. Because some of you are already ahead of me. Y'all are already thinking about that. We're going to get to that. But I'm going to lay some groundwork as we go so you'll know that you know that you know who you are in Christ, what you have and what you can't do in Christ, including miracles. Because I used to think, well, the healing, I understand that. And yes, I've seen plenty of people healed. But I've also seen miracles too. But they're going to be more consistent. And they will be for you too because you're students. Today you've got your student hat on. So you're going to receive from Christ. All right, let's go to John chapter 1. The book of John chapter 1. Boy, that was a long introduction, wasn't it? John chapter 1. We're going to cover the first part of it here. Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And that word comprehend is kind of an unusual term. It basically means that darkness can't overcome the light. I like word pictures. If you'd like, you can go back and listen to the message that I did on imaginations of the heart. Whenever you go to a light switch in your home and you flip it up, what happens? The light normally comes on if everything's okay, right? You flip it up, the light comes on. You push it down, the light goes out. Now, at nighttime, when there's not any other light around, whenever you flip that switch up, what happens to the darkness? It flees. It cannot overcome the light. And He is the light. And today, revelation is going to be switched on in your hearts, your belief system today, so that you can see that you cannot be defeated by whatever it is anymore that's come against you. Even if it takes a miracle. Miracles are things that happen that are outside the normal way that nature works. I've actually ministered a person that had their ankle fused together surgically and had bolts and screws and plates and all that kind of stuff in there. And I didn't know it. And they said they had some pain in their ankle. And so I said, okay, we'll get rid of that. And so I spoke to it in Jesus' name. And I said, okay, how's it doing now? Well, the pain's gone. I said, okay, do something you couldn't do before. And there was silence. I said, what's going on? And it was a lady. She says, oh, I'm just wiggling my foot around. I said, is that good? She said, yeah, because it was surgically fused together months and months ago. And it had pins and screws and plates and stuff in it. And now it's working again. It's working great. And there's no pain. I said, thank you, Jesus. She says, well, what about those piece of hardware? I said, I don't know. He's not a thief. I'm sure he did something with it. We didn't take an x-ray or anything, but I didn't need to. You know, those are not your normal occurrence, but you see, they do happen. Not only has healing been provided for, but miracles have been provided for also. Now, I'm going to be real bold. I've seen it in the spirit. Even if a person is missing a body part, that's already covered too. Now, I've seen many, many legs grow out. That's a miracle too. That's not a healing. Whenever you minister to somebody and their leg is 3 or 4 inches shorter and they walk like this all the time and then they go away like this, they just walking normal, got a big smile on their face. Whenever you place your hands on that person's leg and you actually see the thing grow out, I've actually seen them grow out longer than it's supposed to be and then turn around and came back to normal. God likes to show off. He's always more than enough, right? He's actually that good that He can add bone and muscle and tissues and nerves and everything and actually grow them out and then shrink them back up to where they belong. He matches everything equal. He does a good work. A perfect work. Amen? So, we see that in the beginning was the Word. Now, who is the Word? Who is it talking about here? It's talking about Jesus. Verse 14 in that same chapter, it says, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's saying that God's Word became flesh. He became a man. A person just like us who walked on the earth, who understood everything that people go through in this earth realm. It said He was tempted in every way that we are. But He didn't sin. He's perfect. He fulfilled all the laws perfectly. So He fulfilled the law. So we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. He's full of grace and truth. Now, the truth is that you have been made perfect in Christ Jesus, complete in Him, whenever you received Him as Savior. Now, the temptations that come against you are deceptions to try to get you to accept something other than completeness. Are you following me? And it's usually through dis-ease. And I said that for a reason. In Christ Jesus, we're at peace, we're at rest. We just flow with Him. We stay at rest. We don't have to get all bent out of shape about anything because, hey, He's a good God. And He takes care of His children. We're His children. Whenever we're born into His kingdom, we've been transferred out of one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of the Son of His love, the kingdom of light and life. That's who we are. That's how we roll. Because we have received completeness in everything in Him. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I'm going to give you another word picture, okay? Because I feel like this is really important. We think in pictures, in videos, things of that nature. Think about this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is a depository for every word that God has ever spoken. Now that's not making Him any less of a being than He is. But this is a word picture that I'm challenging you to get this picture in your mind. Is God's Word forever? When God speaks something, does it remain forever? Yes. And it's been deposited in Jesus Christ, and He's known as the Word. He became flesh and dwelt among us. He's the depository for all the words that God has spoken. God has spoke blessings, right? Did you know that God spoke blessings over men before the foundations of the world were even made? That's Scripture. I'll leave that for y'all to look up. Okay? It's Scripture. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're going to go over this some more. That was deposited in Christ Jesus. That Word. Do you think that as much as God loves us, that He would want us to do without in any situation? I know many of you in here have children or even grandchildren or great-grandchildren. As much as we love our spouses and our children and their offspring, He loves us so much more. And He loves us unconditionally. Did you know that God loves you and there ain't nothing you can do about it? I know that sounds kind of stupid, but it's true. He's not ever going to love you any less or he'll love you any more than he does. He's made up his mind to love you. And it's unconditional. And he has loved us in Christ Jesus. Because in him, we're complete, lacking nothing. Did you hear what I said? Amen. We're complete in him, lacking nothing. Whenever I was talking about creative things a while ago, before God created the heavens and the earth, it says that he saw us. And he saw Jesus Christ going to the cross just for us. Because he knew what was going to happen. And he prepared for it in advance. Now, do you think that he actually prepared in advance for you for any kind of calamity that might come against you? Yes. Now, I'm going to give you a picture. Some people say that they've actually seen things in heaven. Rooms full of body parts. And they ask, well, what are all these body parts doing? Oh, well, that's for things that whenever people had those body parts removed or destroyed or whatever, then it's right here for them. And just hook them back up. Think of those things. Is it so extreme that we think about a leg growing out, or whenever Jesus looked at the man that his hand was withered, he said, stretch forth your hand. It happened in Scripture, in Jesus' ministry. God has already spoken over us to replenish anything that we have an appearance of lack or an actual lack of. I know that might be stretching you a little bit. But he is that good. So if we have just a little piddling disease of some kind that begins with a C, is that too hard for him? No. Even if it's destroyed things in our body. Think of this. A person that's got cancer. They've had some of their organs destroyed. Do you think it's any harder for the Lord to take care of that person, to give them new organs and get rid of that cancer than it is to have somebody that's got a cold, for him to bring forth his health to drive out that cold symptom? It's all the same to him. It's only in our minds that we make one bigger than the other. Did you know that Jesus' name is above every name in heaven and on earth? And that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Cancer is no different. It's no different. It has to bow the knee to Jesus. And even if an organ has been destroyed, Jesus has already had it deposited in him with our blood type and DNA matches to go in there and take the place of it. Whenever I first saw that, I was stretched too. But Jesus is that good. God has already foreseen everything that we ever would need. Even an appearance of lack. Because I'm going to let you in on something. If every contingency has already been prepared for by God before he even made us, is Is everybody with me? Then anything that we perceive as a lack is a lie. It's just a perception. Because all things have already been provided for in Christ Jesus. Everything. Everything has been provided for in Him. So, we're going to go on and we're going to be reading some more scripture. So, everybody on the same page? He's the Word, and the Word became flesh. Word picture, He's the depository for everything. Every contingency, everything that we think that we have a lack of, He's already provided it in Christ Jesus. It's in Him. And whenever you receive Christ as Savior, He comes to live inside of you. So instead of trying to, oh, we need to get God to give something and we got to pray it down, it only has to go an inch or two because He's already inside of us. And He's already agreed, I've already got it. Like Andrew says, you've already got it, so quit trying to get it. You remember the picture of the dog chasing his tail? Yeah, we already have it in Christ Jesus. It's already been given. We don't have to talk God into it or pray it down. He's already freely given to us all things in Christ. And it's right here inside of us, in our spirit man, in Christ Jesus. It's just a matter of releasing that out into our physical body, into our soulish realm, to have it manifest. It's all by His power. In the Greek it says dunamis. That's also referred to as miracles. Some of them as miracles. Signs, wonders, those things. The things beyond the natural that we can't really comprehend. God does. He's already provided for them. The only thing is, are we expecting them? And that's faith, right? Amen. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. Now, I'm going to mention this because whenever you read Genesis, most of you don't see Jesus Christ written in there, right? He's in there because He says, just now we read about He's from the beginning and that all things were made for Him and by Him and through Him. And the Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. If you go back and look in the Hebrew language, the first two letters there in Genesis 1:1 is Aleph Tav. Some of you know where I'm going with this. What is Aleph? It's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. What is Tav? It's the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. If you go to Revelation 21, we're not going to go there, but I'm just going to mention it so you'll understand. In Revelation 21 and 6 and 7, it says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. That's the Greek letters for the first letter and the last letter. Jesus Christ is the beginning and the end. He always has been and always will be. And He was in the beginning of creation, where God said, and it was so. The Word of God being deposited in Christ Jesus from the very beginning. Even before that. Because we're the only ones that have beginning. He doesn't. I know that your mind goes tilt whenever you think about before the beginning. That's okay. It'd be all right. He always has been and always will be. Forever. So, Jesus was there in the beginning with God, and all of creation, the created works that God did, were placed in Christ Jesus. We could probably just close it down and go home today. With that revelation itself, that we're complete in Him because everything that ever be needed has already been created before the foundations of the earth. That's how much God thinks of us, because we're the crown jewel of all creation. Mankind is. That's why earth was created. That's why animals were created. The plants, everything else was to sustain man on this earth. Everything that was created by him was for God, man. That was Jesus. Man, God, is those who are on earth who received Christ as their Savior. They were inhabited by God. And that's what I'm saying. Man was born on earth and became God. Jesus was God who came to earth as a baby into the form of man. He came the exact opposite way. And he lived his life as God-man. And the life that he lived, it was an example of how we live today, being inhabited by God. We can hear his voice. We're directed by him. And in Christ Jesus, we are full of him in our spirit. And whenever we let that power out of our spirit man into our flesh and into our soulish realm, that's where you see his power go to work to create miracles. It's so simple whenever you say it that way, isn't it? That's how it is. And that's the word picture, the faith picture that I want you to see. Amen? Okay. Let's go to Colossians. I'm going to take my time today because I want you to be fully persuaded. Where have y'all heard that word before? Fully persuaded. Anybody know what faith is? The definition of faith, pistis in the Greek, is persuasion. God persuades us through hearing the gospel about everything that Jesus has done on our behalf. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. It's actually Christos instead of Theos in the Bible. So it's the word of Christ about what all he's done for us. So we're being persuaded. You're being persuaded right now by the preponderance of evidence in the scripture. That's what we're showing you. And so, like Abraham, when he was fully persuaded, he didn't go back. He kept going. And he received everything that God had promised him. So today, you're not going to go back either. You're going to be fully persuaded that what God said is true for you today and forevermore. Amen? Okay, Colossians 1, and we're going to start at verse 13. Everybody there? He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Man, that just backed up what I've been saying, right? That gave proof to you. That's one scripture reference, right? There's many, many, many more. We're going to cover several, but there's a lot more than what we're going to cover today. And you'll see them as you study for yourself. The preponderance of evidence of who Jesus Christ is And what we have in Him is amazing whenever you start studying it out. Okay, let's go to Colossians 2. And we go with 6 through 10 here. It says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." How did you receive Christ the Lord? You heard the gospel, right? And then you acted on that gospel. Whenever you were fully persuaded, you believed. That's what fully persuaded means, that you believed. You accepted it as truth for your life. And you asked Him to be your Savior. And you said, "Lord, what you did is true. I believe it. And you were raised from the dead. And I want you to live inside of me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior." And that puts you on the path to a world that you never even realized how good it is. Has anybody ever entered into a deal that you thought it sounded great, and then later on you found out, oh, this is not so great? This is the only decision that I've made that I've had no regrets about. Because it's gooder and gooder than I ever imagined. Because Jesus is better than we ever can imagine whenever we first encounter what He's done for us, that as our Savior. And it gets better every day. Every day with Jesus is better than the day before. I think there's a song about that, isn't it, Pastor Henry? Where was I? What verse was I on? I was on verse 6? Oh, I ain't got off of that. Okay. As therefore you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Basically, that's going back to do good, get good. Do bad, get beat. The works. Placing yourself back underneath the law. And the laws are good. They're there for a purpose. But the Ten Commandments and things of that nature, Jesus has fulfilled those. These other laws that we deal with have to do with how men deal with men. Jesus has given us grace. Things that we could not do for ourselves that God has already done in Christ Jesus for us, to give us free access to Him and all that He has, simply by believing in Him, not having to perform to get God to give us something. And that's how the world operates, performance. You know, at your job, if you have a job, if you don't perform, your pay could be cut, or you can be fired, or both. But in Christ Jesus, it's not about your performance. It's about Jesus' performance of the way He lived His life and when He went to the cross and the resurrection on our behalf. That's the performance that God looks at, and that's what earned you the blessings. That's what earned you everything that we operate in today. That's supernatural, too. It says, "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power." It says pretty plainly, doesn't it? You're complete in Him, and He's the head of all principality and power, all rulers and powers. He is above all those in power and stature and might. So even if something has power, it doesn't stand anything compared to who Jesus is and what He has in power to make God's will come to pass. because everything that God has already spoken has been deposited in him. And it's all good. Amen. Okay. Is everybody getting persuaded? All right. We're going to go on to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Y'all probably been itching on this one, right? Ephesians chapter 1. Pages stick together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Does that verse mean anything different to you now? Do you know what that word blessed means? You've heard Andrew say, you're just blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessed means spoke well over you. And it's saying that God has spoken well of you, and he did it all the way from back before the foundations of the earth. And it was recorded in Christ Jesus. That's why it keeps referring to in Christ Jesus. Because that's where the blessings are, in the spirit realm, in Christ Jesus. Well, I can't see it. Well, that's right. Not with your natural eyes until it manifests. And we're going to talk about that too. I do that so that you'll pay attention. We're getting there. Okay, let's go to I'll write that down. Oh, okay. Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. This is one of the prayers that people pray. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Colossians 1. Amen. Verse 14 is where we're going to start, and we're going to go through to 21. I know this is a long section, but it bears repeating here, okay? For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to his riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Man, we could spend weeks just talking about this one section of scripture right here. There's so much meat in it. But we're going to hit some high points right here. It says that we can know, which means to experience, the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It passes our understanding how much he loves us, how much he's already done for us, and how much he wants us to experience that love in this natural world by living the God kind of life. That's why we're placed here by God to begin with. That's why he created mankind, is so we would be gods on this earth, little g gods. We would enjoy the God kind of life here on this earth. It's already been provided in him, in Christ Jesus. that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. See, God doesn't do things part way. Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. Until something's overflowing, it's not full to Him. Always add more, and then more, and then more on top of that. Blessings, 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 blessings. He spoke well over us. He wants us to operate in that blessing today, continuously. And because of His love is the reason that all of these things were prepared for us. That's why we were created. Because love expresses itself. God is love. And love has to express itself. And He expressed His love by creation of mankind. The crown jewel of all creation. And Jesus came to give us everything we couldn't get back from the demonic realm. He came and destroyed the works of the devil and the devil and got back everything that was taken, our authority, from the devil. And now we're the victors in every situation because God has made us that way in Christ Jesus. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
That's why. Because we have been indwelt by the power that raised Jesus from the dead. We have His power in us to make things right. No matter how bad it looks in the natural, we already have been endued with power from above. That's what the Scripture says. Bear with me. Got another Scripture here. And this will... I hope that it will affect you the way it has me. Whenever I was talking about miracles. Galatians 3:5. Everybody there? Therefore, He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does He do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, just so you'll understand, those verbs, supplies and works, those are present tense. So people that say that we don't have miracles anymore today, this right here refutes that. They're in present tense. He's still working miracles today. Because they are ours in Christ Jesus. The miracles are ours. We're not trying to get Him to release something. He already has, and they're in Christ Jesus. And as believers, He's in us. So we have the miracle in us that we can release into ourselves and also to other people. And how does He say that it happens? It says by the hearing of faith. Right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, of the gospel. It says if you substitute the word for faith of being persuaded, it says that it comes by hearing of persuasion that you've already got it in Christ Jesus. Are you being persuaded? I have been. Every time I look at these scriptures, I get so excited I can't hardly stand myself. To know that it's just not healing or whatever. But if you have a financial situation, did you know that the wisdom that you need, because Christ has been made into us wisdom of one of the things of how to deal with that situation to come out ahead. Not only that, but to show you how you won't make a decision that got you in that again and overcome that situation to where it turns around and you have been prospered. Now, how can I say that? We have the scripture for that too. Jesus became poor that we might be made rich. As he is, so are we in this world. What does rich mean? Well, in the scripture, it talks about to have, to give to every need that comes about. The Holy Spirit wants you to provide financially for. He said that he's already provided it for you. That's in Christ Jesus too. How about relationships? Relationships with people. He'll give you wisdom in how to mend that relationship. It's supernatural. The answer is in the spirit realm in Christ Jesus. And we can participate with him and manifest that into the natural realm. How about a job? Employment, income, starting a business. Can you name anything there that seems to be kind of impossible where you are right now? Well, I'm too old. Well, I don't have enough money. Well, I don't have the experience I need. Well, I don't know how this or that and the other. He's been made unto us wisdom. Have you tapped into that wisdom? I'd much rather trust God's wisdom than a stockbroker. And it's good to seek advice from people. But how about starting out with God's advice? How about seeking his wisdom? He says he'll give it if we just ask him for his wisdom. And he's not going to upbraid if not, it says. You're not going to be chided. So, not only will the miracle occur in the body, but also in the mind too, in the soulish realm. How about a person that has some emotions that are out of whack? Up one moment, down the next. Bipolar. How about an addiction? It's no big deal. Once a person has been persuaded that he already has that situation defeated in Christ Jesus, the desire for it goes. They no longer need it anymore because Christ has already fulfilled them completely whenever they have a persuasion that it's already done in him. Amen. Oh, man. Y'all probably been waiting for this all day. Now we're going to get into it, how to do it. And it's so simple. It's so simple. Let's go to Philemon. It's right before Hebrews, after Titus. Is everybody there yet? Verse 6. It's only one chapter. Chapter 1. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. What have we been talking about today? In Christ Jesus. Who we are in him. What we have in him. What we can do in him. And what does this say? That our faith will become effective. What does that mean? The sharing of your faith may become effective. Did you know that I'm sharing right now? Now, Whenever you tell people how good Jesus is and everything that he's done in your life for you, a testimony, that's sharing your faith. That's a testimony. How about whenever you minister to somebody, healing? Somebody that's got a situation and you lay hands on them and you speak over them. That's sharing your faith. Right? That's sharing the persuasion that you have already received that turned into belief because you were fully persuaded. How about like the prophet said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. What I believe this is saying is that so that the ministering of your belief, not only to yourself but to others, may become effective or manifested in the natural realm by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And we've just touched the tip of the iceberg today on who we are in Christ. We've just touched some of them. But I think we've covered enough to where you can see that whenever you acknowledge it's already in you in Christ Jesus, we don't have to try to get something from heaven to come down and wrench God's arm to give it to us. It's already been given. Know that God is that good that He's provided everything for us. And I want you to take from today the things that we've said. Jesus wants you to walk in wholeness in every area of your life. There's a lot of different areas of a person's life, not just their physical well-being or their emotional or mental well-being. But everything that we experience in this natural realm, He's concerned about it. And He loves us that much that He has already provided for us to walk in the fullness of who He is. Keep in mind, whenever you think about that verse, it says, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. It's not as Jesus was when He walked this earth. I know that may be a surprise to some of you whenever I said that. What He's actually saying is, Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, the power seat of the universe, that's how we are today, because He is in us. And He's the power source that we're operating from, not in our physical bodies. It's spiritual power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the power we're operating from. Has it been made abundantly clear, the preponderance of evidence today, that you are whole, you're healed, you're well, you're prospering in everything that you place your hand to, that you have His power residing in you as a believer, and you can release that power at will to minister to anyone, anyone. And I'm gonna finish it up. That person that you're ministering to does not have to have the same revelation that you do. Just one person out of the two believes in what we just talked about. And so that's all that's required for Him to release that power out through you to make it so. This is for people who are receiving their miracle and people who are ministering the miracle.